Hello, I'm Jonathan Peters, and I'm presenting on Geoffrey Eugenides' Middlesex, pages 490-92. Once upon a time, in ancient Greece, there was an enchanted pool. This pool was sacred to Salmacis, the water nymph, and one day Hermaphroditus, a beautiful boy, went swimming there. Here, I lowered my feet into the pool. I lulled them back and forth as the narration continued. Salmacis looked upon the handsome boy, and her lust was kindled. She swam nearer to get a closer look. Now I began to lower my own body into the water inch by inch, shin, knees, thighs. If I paced it the way Presto had instructed me, the peephole slid shut at this point. Some customers left, but many dropped more tokens into the slots. The screens lifted from the portholes. The water nymph tried to control herself, but the boy's beauty was too much for her. Looking was not enough. Salmacis swam nearer and nearer, and then, overpowered by desire, she caught the boy from behind, wrapping her arms around him. I began to kick my legs, churning up water so that it was hard for the customers to see. Hermaphroditus struggled to free himself from the tenacious grip of the water nymph, ladies and gentlemen, but Salmacis was too strong. So unbridled was her lust that the two became one. Their bodies fused, male into female, female into male. Behold the god Hermaphroditus! At which point I plunged into the pool entire, all of me exposed. And the peephole slid shut. No one ever left a booth at this point. Everyone extended his or her membership to the garden. Underwater, I could hear the tokens clinking into the change boxes. It reminded me of being at home, submerging my head under bathwater and hearing the pinging in the pipes. I tried to think of things like that. It made everything seem far away. I pretended I was in the bathtub on Middlesex. Meanwhile, faces filled the portholes, gazing with amazement, curiosity, disgust, desire. We were always stoned for work. That was a prerequisite. As we got into our costumes, Zora and I would fire up a joint to start the night. Zora brought a thermos of Averna and ice, which I drank like Kool-Aid. What you aimed for was a state of half-oblivion, a private party mood. This made the men less real, less noticeable. If it hadn't been for Zora, I don't know what I would have done. Our little bungalow in the mist and trees, neatly surrounded by low-lying California ground cover, the tiny koi pond full of pet store goldfish, the outdoor Buddhist shrine made of blue granite. It was a refuge for me, a halfway house where I stayed, getting ready to go back into the world. My life during those months was as divided as my body. Nights we spent at 69ers, waiting around the tank, bored, high, giggling, unhappy. But you got used to that. You learned to medicate yourself against it and put it out of your mind. In the daytime, Zora and I were always straight. She had 118 pages of her book written. These were typed on the thinnest onion skin paper I had ever seen. The manuscript was therefore perishable. You had to be careful in handling it. Zora made me sit at the kitchen table while she brought it out like a librarian with a Shakespeare folio. Otherwise, Zora didn't treat me like a kid. She let me keep my own hours. She asked me to help with the rent. We spent most days padding around the house in our kimonos. Z had a stern expression when she was working. I sat out on the deck and read books from her shelves, Kate Chopin, Jane Poles, and the poetry of Gary Snyder. Though we looked nothing alike, Zora was always emphatic about our solidarity. We were up against the same prejudices and misunderstandings. I was gladdened by this, but I never felt sisterly around Zora. Not completely. I was always aware of her figure under the robe. I went around averting my eyes and trying not to stare. On the street, people took me for a boy. Zora turned heads. Men whistled at her. She didn't like men, however, only lesbians. She had a dark side. She drank to extremes and sometimes acted ugly. She raged against football, male bonding, babies, breeders, politicians, and men in general. There was a violence in Zora at such times that set me on edge. She had been the high school beauty. She had submitted to caresses that had done nothing for her and to sessions of painful lovemaking. Like many beauties, Zora had attracted the worst guys, the varsity stooges, the herpetic section leaders. It was no surprise that she held a low opinion of men. Me, she exempted. She thought I was okay. not a real man at all. Which I felt was pretty much right.